local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as we get you ready for King's Magic. It is time to turn the page, maybe not fully, but at least for the next 10 to 15 minutes with our guy, play-by-play for the Orlando Magic G League, Wendell Epps. Wendell, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Hey, doing excellent. Thank you all so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yes, of course. So let's start here. The Orlando Magic lose last night. They are the fifth seed in the East. As we can confirm that losses aren't always great to start the new year because the Kings did the same thing. They've lost 7 of their last 10. What's going on with the Orlando Magic, and how are they going to try to turn this thing around?
Well, I'll start with this, guys. I mean, with the Magic, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner have been doing their thing. It's definitely not been their fault. That dynamic duo in their past 5 games, they've each been averaging well over 20 points, and they're looking like all-star caliber players right now. I think the trouble that the Magic have been running into has, number one, been some of the opponents they've been facing recently, right? They played some tough teams recently to start off the West Coast trip, playing at Phoenix, and then last night at Golden State, and even last week you had a tough test against Philadelphia. But I think, you know, shooting and turnovers has been sort of the big reason, and a lot of the players will tell you that. They've been pretty vocal about, you know, we need to fix these turnovers if we want to get back in the win column, and we need to start beating, you know, some of these top teams in the Eastern and Western Conference to show our worth. So I think when it comes down to some of the miscues that have been happening recently, a lot of it has been boiled down sort of just to those mental errors with the turnovers and such.
Wendell, I mean, we don't watch a ton of Orlando Magic basketball over here, but I mean, just from what I've gathered from the Magic these past couple seasons, they've always been really long and really defensively minded, but kind of struggled on the offensive end pretty mightily. This season, now that Orlando's actually having some success, how have they kind of fared against some of the more offensive minded teams this year? Like, you know, I think of, you know, teams like the Pacers and definitely the Bucks this season, Boston, Philly of the world. How has Orlando been able to deal with more of the offensive focused teams when, yeah, I mean, their identity has really been defense for as long as I can remember?
Right. I mean, I think a lot of that starts with guys like Jalen Suggs, right? You know, someone that's willing to put their body all over the floor and sacrifice everything. And I think it's just guys really locking in. You also got to give a big shout out to their bench, because I feel like in games against some of those teams you mentioned, like Indiana and Boston, they've had a couple big wins against them. I mean, I go back to that in-season tournament game they had against Boston. It was a Friday afternoon, Black Friday. The crowd was absolutely hyped. And a big reason they won that game was because of their bench play. Mo Wagner had a season high 27 points in that game and was playing very well defensively. Goga Bitadze, who stepped up this season, starting 23 games for our team. He's done really well defensively, sort of as an anchor in the low post and that rim protector, if you will. So I think when it comes to playing against teams like that, just, you know, the X factor stepping up. Jalen Suggs, Goga Bitadze, you know, obviously our offense and defense starts with Banchero and Franz Wagner. But when you're getting those guys off the bench and those guys who are stepping in, playing bigger minutes, playing pivotal roles, it helps out a lot.
Talking to Wendell Epps, play-by-play for the G League Magic. So, Wendell, out here, we think that Malik Monk is our sixth man of the year. But the Magic have a guy in Cole Anthony who he's climbing up that list too. What is it about him that makes him so important to this team? Is he that spark off the bench offensively like Malik Monk? What is it that he does which has him in the conversation for sixth man of the year?
Well, I think a lot of his game is sort of similar to Malik Monk in the sense that he comes off the bench and he's that guy that's going to be that microwave, that scorer right out the gates. And he's been consistent this season. You know, he's kind of had a little bit of a downgrade in his stats in this West Coast trip so far. But if you just look at his season performance overall, I mean, Cole's been really great, averaging over 14 points a game, 3.5 assists. He's just a guy that comes in and, you know, he's going to give you buckets. He's going to give you a lot of energy. And just the person Cole Anthony is. I mean, remember, this is a guy who signed a contract extension before the regular season started, and I think that gave him a big chip on his shoulder. It made him feel a lot more comfortable heading in the season, knowing that he actually was locked in long term. And this is a guy that's had to also adapt to his sixth man role, which is why I think he deserves even more credit for being in the running for sixth man of the year. Is, you know, this is somebody who was starting for the Magic not too long ago, but last season, you know, once Markelle Fultz was coming back into things, Jalen Suggs was starting to develop, you know, Cole kind of went in more of a bench role, and he had to embrace it. It took him a while, but once he fully embraced embraced it. He took it and ran with it. So he's been a big part of the success this season. You look back to some of the big moments this season the Magic have had, their big winning streak they had from November to December. Like, just moments like that. Cole has been a big guy in his personality. He's such a funny guy. He's great to be around, and the teammates just love playing with him.
Wendell, you mentioned earlier, I mean, obviously Franz and Paolo have been huge for the Magic success this season. Funny enough, as a Kings, someone who's covered the Kings, I mean, you know, Franz is someone who was taken a couple picks before Davion Mitchell. You have Paolo Banchero, who was a pretty big surprise at number one last year, and you know, the Kings took Keegan Four. So two guys who were kind of on the Kings draft radar. Just in general, I mean, this is the second season of these two guys playing together, and they've played at an elite level. What's been the biggest difference from those two specifically from last year to this year in them having success?
I think the big thing is really just their confidence, right? I mean, more people are starting to watch these guys on a consistent basis, and they're getting more praise. I mean, I look back at some of these past couple games, you know, you had Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal, shout out the duo Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, talking about how they've just improved consistently and then constantly from their rookie season and from Franz last year in his second year. And then you look at Steph Curry last night, also giving praise to Paolo and Franz. So it's just the fact that I think they're starting to see that more guys are paying attention to them. And the interesting thing about Banchero specifically, you know, his start of the season, you know, teams were locking in on him because they knew, hey, this is a guy that's the reigning rookie of the year. We have to guard him a little bit more closely. And he kind of had to get used to facing double teams and tight coverages. But especially this past month, Banchero and Wagner have just been really solid for the Magic. And I think, you know, their confidence level, the fact that they've taken on more of a leadership role. They both came into the season saying that they wanted to be bigger leaders on this team. And the team has trusted them. They've been giving them more responsibilities both on and off the court. And they've just took it and ran with it.
One more for you. We are talking to Wendell Epps, play-by-play for the G League Magic. You know, Wendell, it's interesting looking at the Magic and certain teams like the Magic and the Thunder on a hot run, because out here in Sacramento, we understand that the window, you're ahead of schedule, and then you can blink and end up being behind schedule. Obviously, the Magic are, I would say, at least a little bit ahead of schedule right now. Do you expect them to just see how everything plays out with this trade deadline or make any type of moves to accelerate that timeline? Or do you think they'll just see what they have and go from there?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question that's been going around in Central Florida right now, guys. You know, I see a lot of Magic fans on social media kind of talking about, okay, is this the right guy? Do we make a big move at the trade deadline, or do we kind of wait until the offseason and see how things play out? I personally think that if it's for the right guy, you make the move at the deadline, but it's really got to be for the right guy, because this Magic organization, as much as they value talent on the floor, they value personality and how guys are going to fit with their team off the floor, because the group that they have now, it's a special group. I think the Magic, it's no secret that they have one of the best team chemistries in the entire league, just the way that, you know, it's a very young group, it's a very mature group. And these guys just have a lot of fun playing with one another. Obviously, we need shooting, so I think if a good shooter's out there, you know, you go ahead and pull that. But I think at some point, especially if they make the playoffs this year, you know, other superstars, other all-star caliber players in the NBA, they're going to be looking at the Magic as a potential destination. I mean, Orlando's a great city to live in already, so I think, you know, joining a Magic team that's on the rise, you could see the Magic be very active, especially coming into this offseason and heading into next year.
You know, Wendell, I'm not going to do it. We're going to let you go. But you say Orlando's a great place to live, and it's taking everything in my body to not bring up Disney World. Do you get tired of the Disney World jokes?
You know, personally for me, I'm actually a Disney fanatic. I've been to Disney. I just flew to Orlando earlier this year, but I've been to Disney over 25 times, actually, in my life. Crazy. So I don't mind it, but I know the players and the coaches got to get that.
Well, good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you for all of that. That is Wendell Epps, play-by-play for the G League Magic. Wendell, we will talk to you soon. Thank you, my friend, and enjoy the rest of your season.
Yes, sir. You got it. You as well, guys. Take care.
All righty, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to preview the Magic. And at 12:30, we have our Kings Roundtable with our Sactown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, who have a lot to say on social media right now about the trade machine. So, yeah, guys, if you're listening right now, I'm firing up some trades. So get ready, 12:30, it's going down. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Thank you. Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Sal's and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m., 15 more minutes until our Kings Roundtable with our Sactown Sports Kings Insiders. They will bring the heat, as they always do. Thank you to Wendell Epps, play-by-play for the G League Magic, who had a lot of great information there. Wendell looks like he is a kind of a graduate guy going through everything with the Magic and doing some great work. Wendell, yeah. I got to tell you, you got a future, man, so keep doing what you're doing and enjoy the Disney World trips.
Yes.
Have you been to Disney World, by
not
the way?
World. No, not World. I hear it's like, I mean, Disneyland on steroids. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I hear, I literally, the biggest thing I hear is that it's too big, so.
I've been, are you a Disney person?
I am, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, big time.
Hmm.
Yeah. Haven't been in a while, though. It's probably been, pre-pandemic since
so
I've
what
been
do you mean
Disneyland.
You're a Disney person?
Like, I go to Disneyland. There was a portion, like, from high school to, like, I don't know, second year of college, I probably went, like, I would try and go once a year.
Well,
me and my friends.
Who is your favorite Disney character?
I don't really have one, but I guess it would be, like, Goofy or Pluto.
Have you been to the Star Wars land?
No. See, so that's how long it's been.
I have.
It's really since the prices have gone, like, up.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Dude, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
No. What about, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride?
Well, that was great, but it was... I mean, I wouldn't say it was better as the Tower of Terror, but it's just different. It's a little bit less, it's definitely less scary. It's a lot more fun now. I like how they have, like, the music
that's
and
my
stuff
favorite,
incorporated. But
favorite one.
Yeah. There you go.
Tower of Terror was the best.
There you go. Well, you know, have you had the big turkey leg?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Turkey leg, Dole Whip.
Churro.
I haven't had
the turkey leg.
It's crazy.
I haven't. I've been down there,
but
I've never.
It's just a turkey leg.
Yeah, it's just a turkey leg.
It's, but it's bomb. Some...
Let's go, us three.
It goes with the vibe.
I'm down.
Yeah, we should go.
I'm down. Yeah. Only if we get to go to Magic Mountain, no pun intended. Well, actually, no, that's LA. I'm tripping.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
I was thinking Disneyland.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
We can't
go
to Disney World.
I was saying Disneyland. Yeah,
yeah,
that's not in the budget. Mountain. That's not in the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're good. Well,
also, my girlfriend would probably kill me if I went to Disney World without her.
There you go. Well, we'll make it happen.
I love that.
There you go.
And I don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
Go without her, is what I'm saying.
We'll make it happen.
I'd put that on the record. I'd like to go with you guys.
There you go.
Anyway, we got some big injury news that we should get to.
Yeah. Nate just
or not even injury
breakdown.
Yeah, just
I just have to, you know, get my words right. Otherwise I get in trouble.
Why don't you pod it, right?
Pod it?
Go on a podcast, figure it out.
How about
and replay it?
This this Niners game this week.
Anyway, David Lombardi puts out on social media here, Brock Purdy will not play for the 49ers versus the Rams. Matt Barrows also puts Sam Darnold, of course, will then start for the Sunday finale against the Rams. So interesting little bit of gamesmanship there, huh? Like, how much of that do you think was Shanahan just kind of waiting to see what McVay was going to do?
Oh, yeah. So now... I don't know why. I could see Brandon Ayuk. I mean, you got to put somebody out there. Can we see? I know he had the shoulder thing. Is Danny Gray a real person?
He's in the doghouse, dude.
Is he a real person? Has anyone ever seen Danny Gray in person?
I don't think it's injury. I think it's just it's not going to work.
Is he just bad?
I think he doesn't do the little things.
He doesn't want to block.
It's that stuff.
So
I think.
If George
Pickens Bell,
was available. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan would say no because he doesn't want to block.
I honestly think, I mean, for what, it depends, but I think you're very much onto something.
Wow.
I think Ronnie Bell has eclipsed Danny Gray immensely. Like, Ronnie Bell, his only issue is that a few penalties here and there, but, like, dropping the punt return a couple. But it's all rookie stuff.
But,
he's young.
A physical dude.
Yeah, he's a physical dude.
He can get trained out of that. Okay, so no... So no Brock Purdy. Nothing else has dropped yet.
No Stafford. No, from the Niners side. I mean, we know no CMC,
right,
which makes sense. I think we could all but count out Trent Williams. Like, there's absolutely no reason to bring Trent out there. Debo doesn't make a lot of sense to play. Kittle, unless there's some sort of contract incentives, I don't see what the purpose would be. I mean, defensively, like Bosa as well, like you're not – I would go straight second unit.
Maybe
I don't
Bosa
see...
can get a cheap sack or something.
Sure.
Since his sack numbers.
Like Fred Warner, why would he play? Like I would put everybody under bubble wrap. I don't care about these, like, they won't play for 3 weeks. Like, I don't I don't really think that's that big of a
deal. You got to get like Jason Verrett some run for sure because he just came back. You got to make sure he plays.
I mean, what they're saying, Logan Ryan's going to start at safety.
He did
last week. Again,
Jair Brown's been out, so it's. I mean, the problem is so many starters are hurt. Your starters are becoming. Or your backups are becoming the starters, so a lot of those guys will have to play.
Right? Yeah. All right. Well, look, good on the Niners for not forcing the issue. Good on Kyle Shanahan. I mean, this is a franchise guy, right? This is what played so well throughout the course of the season. And then you had the Kings Magic injury report.
Yes. This is Jason Anderson put out the injury report here, and we have the Orlando Magic have ruled Markelle Fultz out, Joe Ingles out, and Jonathan Isaac out for tonight.
Jonathan Isaac. Yeah. That's another guy.
I don't know if I've ever seen Jonathan Isaac play in person.
But I know somebody wants him. That name always comes up.
Yeah.
That name always comes up because he's young, but he cannot stay on the court.
I don't even know how young he is anymore. That's also like, true. He's just been hurt for so long that it's just like, I haven't seen him.
Not as many miles.
He is 26 years old still.
So Markelle Fultz, who kind of had a refreshing career last season and now with Jalen Suggs, they're going to have some decisions to make. I know there are a lot of guards out there, but for anybody looking to upgrade, as Wendell Epps said, play-by-play for the G League Magic does a lot of good work for the Orlando Magic. As he said, they have to make some decisions, and they have a lot of guards.
A lot of guards, like way too many guards. And,
That's the thing with Cole Anthony. He was a starter. That's what Wendell said. So now all of a sudden Jalen Suggs comes back, who was injured. So maybe
I love watching Jalen Suggs play. I'm really excited. Like, he's... He is a dog.
He is. That, and we knew he was a dog. Gonzaga.
Athlete, man.
And that is why it is so confusing. This is not a shot. But this is why it is really confusing to grab those. It's a gamble either way, but I don't know how much less of a gamble it is in college because you have a Jalen Suggs and you have a Davion Mitchell, who both guys played at a high level.
Sure.
You know, and one guy seems to be making that jump and one guy... Not.
I mean, they kind of do similar things, but I would say Jalen Suggs is like 5 inches taller.
Well, there you go. There you go. All right, before we get to a break, we got Tin on the line who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Tin? 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. What you got for us?
I got some. You know why the Charlotte Hornets won in Sacramento last night? Because Sacramento is the home of the Hornets. I know you from the Bay, bro. Let that soak in. Chris will put you up on game. Peace out, guys. Go Kings.
Stingers up. Oh, I know. I'm up on game. Sac State, stingers up. You ever been stung by a hornet?
No, not a hornet or a wasp. Yeah.
Just a bee?
Just a bee, thankfully.
I got stung.
Dude, no thanks.
We got to get to a break, but I got stung. I was a kid, and I was 6 years old, something like that. I got stung on my middle finger.
That's like traumatizing.
I got stung on my middle finger, so I couldn't bend it. And my mom is like, dude, stop flipping people off. I'm like, no, like, I'm not flipping people off.
My finger is on
fire. I got stung. All right? All right, got to get to a break. Ugh. When we get back, it's time. The Kings Roundtable with Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. Have I been firing up the trade machine?
Probably.
I guess you'll have to hang around and find out. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. It is time for the Kings Roundtable, joined by Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. Guys, how you doing?
Good, not great. Good, not great. It was not a fun night. Obviously, I've been telling everyone that will listen that I told my family, hey, everybody, I know that my brother who's in the Air Force, he's visiting. Please move your tickets from the third to the second because the Kings are horrible on back-to-backs. So they moved their tickets to the second. They have great seats last night. They're excited to be there. And it was just the most dud of a game. And even us, like, on Media Row, are talking about how, like, we just could not feel any energy in the building. But The good news is my family will be back in attendance tonight to see the Kings play the Magic.
I was wondering, because you told me before the game, you were like, so you told me that they were coming tonight, but you said they were selling their tickets tonight. And so when they lost, I was like, damn, not only did they see the loss, they're definitely not going to be here tomorrow. So they are coming today.
They did not sell at the time last night. So my girlfriend, Allie, she pulled them off of like Ticketmaster, and they kept them. So my mom, my brother, my girlfriend, and my sister will be at the game tonight. My brother wants to see the Beam in person. He wants to see it. So last night, disappointing for a lot of reasons. On a personal level, I was kind of frustrated. But obviously, anyone that was watching that game was frustrated for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, you know, and I don't even know where to go with this, but I just feel bad for people that spend their hard-earned money and just see an absolute, that wasn't even a dud per se, but it just was a sloppy game. I mean, Frankie, we haven't hooped yet, but I would imagine me and you can run some two-man that would look a little bit better than that. I think where we're at with the Kings is we've seen every version. I think, have we covered all the different types of losses of this season? You have the lackadaisical, flat, didn't show up. You have the last second loss, but it was a good game. That was in Golden State with the last second. And then you had the just sloppy game where you had multiple chances to figure out and then didn't. Am I missing any types of losses?
Maybe some horrible defense ones might be in there.
Yeah.
You know, like a half of horrible defense or a quarter that just totally kills you.
A lot, right? Maybe a lot.
Yeah.
Of horrible defense, the Kings, there's got to be a little more.
There's definitely a handful of those, too.
There's got to be. There's one where there's, they just went cold. We definitely had one of those. They just went cold for the day. So I don't know. Me and Chris went back and forth, and I yelled even though I said I wasn't going to yell, and that's probably because I'm sleep-deprived because my daughter had nightmares last night of Sabonis turning the ball over and free throws being missed. But at this point, you know, I got the trade machine ready. I got one in the chamber.
Oh, yeah.
We won't do it now. We'll wait till the next segment. But ultimately, if you don't make any moves, I'm not really going to get upset anymore, fellas. I'm just sitting here thinking, you are going to be between a 4 and a 6 seed. And if they don't make any moves, right, you're going to be between a 4 and a 6 seed. And you're just going to have to pray that no teams below you, if you're the Warriors, you make a move, Lakers, the Suns, no teams below you get hot. That's where I'm at.
And I don't think that's the worst. You know, like four to six is okay to kind of just sit between, and you hope that this group gets more playoff experience. You still can flirt with getting out of the first round. If you make it to the second round at the end of the year, I still think it's a successful year, you know? So, I mean, we've talked about it before. I think they're going to stay active in searching for potential moves, and if they view one that is obviously something that's going to help them and also maintain flexibility moving forward, that they'll probably pull the trigger. But I think that if you don't see something like that out there and you do kind of just ride this thing out, it's not a horrible spot to be in if we're looking at like the slow progress of eventually trying to build to a championship team. You get more playoff experience with this group and you're sitting at 4 to 6. Like, I know they were 3 last year, but that doesn't really sound like negative progress to me.
No, it's not negative progress because of how much better the West continues to get. I mean, this jump from the T-Wolves and this jump from the Thunder, which seem to be, we're about a couple weeks away, I'd say, from just saying, okay, this is legit.
Yeah.
Because right now, if you look at the two conferences and who's back of who, once you start to get to that, let's see here. So they're one within each other. Then you have the Nuggets. That Clippers already in that 4 seed, they're 4 games back. Once you get past, I would say, the 5 game mark and you're in February, that's when things have to start rolling your way. So we're about a month away from deciding or coming to the conclusion that, okay, the Timberwolves and the Thunder, they're legit.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now the Kings are just in a very kind of, you know, they were playing some good basketball for a while. Like, I remember posting something like a week or so ago, like the list of games on the ESPN portion of the Kings schedule, how I said there's a lot of green because the W's are green on there. A lot of good basketball. But obviously the last couple of games, they've lost 3 of 5, I believe. It's a little concerning seeing them obviously lose to Portland. It's the teams are losing to. They fall down to Portland. They lose to Atlanta, who has not been fantastic this year. Their offense has been very, very good. But Atlanta as a whole, right, not a great product. Maybe the worst defense in the NBA. They turn around and win that game. You beat Memphis, which is great, obviously. I mean, Memphis isn't playing good basketball, and you should beat a team like that right now. But I'm just looking at these matchups and saying the Kings are just not kind of having that punch they had last year. And maybe that's because the league is adapted. Maybe that's because that's the way that things work. You're not going to come out and expect the same exact success. But it is come to a question of, and we talk about it every week, it's about when is the right time to make moves. Like you said, 4-6 is fine, but I think this team has higher aspirations than that, and they expect more out of themselves than finishing on a, you know, six, the final seed, the final playoff spot, or even like a play-in team. They expect more. And I think internally they're trying these things out. Chris Duarte's in the starting lineup. That's happening. Davion Mitchell's back in the rotation. They're trying these different things and trying to find the right rhythm. And last night there was just no rhythm, like nothing. Yeah. And maybe that's them playing down to the level of their competition, which is something the Kings have done over the past year, and maybe even further than that. It's a team that a decade. A lot of teams do that too. A lot of teams play down to the level of their competition. I think that's something the Kings do more so. But I'm just kind of at the point where there's not many other buttons you can press with this group. We're kind of seeing them exhaust all options right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what other things they could try they haven't tried yet. But, and again, they're what, 19 and 13 right now? They're in the same record or a little better than last year. There's by no means am I saying it's time to hit the panic button. But like you said, we have 3-4 weeks until there's decision time. And if they continue to struggle like this and this homestand is going to be telling, and then obviously a big East road trip next week, I think it's going to tell us a lot about what direction they're going to have to go in.
Well, and I think it's kind of funny, like Frank mentioned, like they're 19 and 13. This team is on a 48-49 win pace,
right?
You know, but it just feels different. I don't know if that's expectations coming into this year. I'm sure that plays a part, or expecting just more progress from that point, but you're on pace for almost 50 wins.
Right. So Chris and I was talking about this, and maybe Frankie, maybe you remember because a lot of times you've come on and you've said, oh yeah, they're actually doing better than they were last season. When was the big run last season?
They had a 6-game winning streak in, I believe,
early in the year.
It was later, too. I think it was February or March. I can pull it up, but it was later in the year. They had a 7-8-game winning streak early in the season. Mm-hmm. And as I'm pulling up last year's schedule.
So I'm looking here just in January. They started off January 19-16, January 1st, ended January the 3 seed at 28-21.
Yeah, you're right, and they did have a 6-game winning streak in January.
And then they didn't. They held on to that 3 seed the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at, if we're comparing it to last year's group about a week or two from now, if we're being like, oh, spot on, that's when they made their run. But, I mean, these things can happen at any time. It's just the schedule the Kings have had, and I think I brought up last time I was on with you guys how the strength of schedule really dropped off. The Kings were like in the top upper half. I think they dropped from like 6th or 7th to maybe 15th or 14th. Like, they really got through that rough stretch. You're not taking advantage of these games right now. You lost to Portland. You lost to Charlotte. That really impacts your strength of schedule. So, obviously, from now on, things look a little more complicated.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the reason why it feels like, I mean, we have a similar record to what we had last year, but it feels worse is the losses to me. Like, I mean, it's the fact that when you lose, you lose so big that it's impossible to just try and brush it off and say, ah, it's fine. Like, you know, you're not going to go 82-0. Like, you're going to lose to some good teams eventually. It's the fact that when you lose, it's like by 15 points. And then two of the losses have now been to Portland and then to Charlotte. You really kind of almost gave it up against Atlanta as well. It's just, it feels like for all the positive momentum they build for themselves, it just feels like everything comes crashing down when they get that loss, because the loss is so bad that you just can't move on from it. And I don't really know what to do with it. And it's what's made it so tough to kind of gauge this team. It's the fact that they have they're still 2-0 over the Lakers, 2-0 over OKC. They have wins over Denver, Dallas, all the best teams, Minnesota. But it kind of gets negated because the losses have been so bad that it's just like I can't figure out which team they are, or is that the team they are, is that they can beat good teams, but they can also on any given night, like Brendan used to say last year, they're good enough to win every night, they're also bad enough defensively to lose every single night. Is that just who they continue to be, but just in a different fashion?
Pretty much, really, right? Like, I mean, you can take it how you want. Like, you can look at those losses and be like, wow, this team crumbles at times and almost seems to, I think a lot of the wording they used is like not punch back when they get hit first. But then you can look at those wins against Minnesota, against Denver, against OKC, and it's like that's super encouraging.
Yeah.
You know, being able to take care of business against those teams is not nothing. Those are huge wins and statement wins. And when you get to the postseason, you're playing some of these better teams. You just don't want to be flirting, obviously, with that play-in conversation where
that's what I'm saying.
This is where, you know, one game, like Chris is saying, where it feels like they can lose any given night, which is the case for any NBA team, really. But it's not just going cold, right? The going cold ones are forgivable in my mind. It's last night where they talk about controllables a lot. It's missing free throws. It's unforced turnovers. It's taking bad shots early in the shot clock, not getting to the second side of your action, or just poor defensive rotations. It's all those little controllables that get so worrisome, right? But I kind of think that the big wins almost in my mind outweigh the big losses at times. But it's very...
I don't think so.
If they got a huge win against Orlando tonight, like, we forget about Charlotte pretty quick.
Oh, for sure.
No, we wouldn't. So. No, we wouldn't.
I really
wouldn't,
don't
because
think
that
so.
Just means they're going to lose at the next
moment.
Game.
For the moment, you do. But obviously, it's a larger discussion because we were just talking about with Jason Ross out there. Like, the wins do kind of, for a moment, you forget because if the Kings put a 20 spot on Orlando, we're going to be like, it's going to be great. Kings look fantastic tonight. But then again, when they go out and play against, I mean, who do they play next week on the East Coast trip? They play Philly.
For the rest of this time, yeah.
Yeah, Philly. They have a couple other tough games. Like,
they got at Bucks.
Concerning matchups are on the horizon here. And then quick side note, we were talking about strength of schedule. The Kings were 14th last week when we were sitting here talking about it. Since that, they lost to Portland. They barely beat Atlanta. They lose to Charlotte. They beat Memphis. They went from 14th. They're now 8th in the NBA, hardest remaining strength of schedule. That's 6th in the West. So those are games that are now just not going to be there for you as a cushion. You don't get to look forward to those matchups as, okay, well, at least they play Charlotte twice, at least they play Port. No, those games, there's two that are off your list right there. So that could fall and that could rise up. It fall or, you know, rise, but right now they are now 8th in the NBA.
Yeah, and again, second half of a back-to-back, not even the same because they lost last night, so they don't have an opportunity to finally sweep a back-to-back. And you do a little bit softer here. You have you host the Raptors, you host the Pelicans. You're at Pistons and you're at Hornets. That's the next back-to-back. And then after that, Friday the 12th and Sunday the 14th, you have at Sixers, at Bucks, a little later than that, at Suns. And then January 18th, Halliburton comes home,
push
baby. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Doug, we see you on the line. We will get to you and get to whatever your comment or question is for either Chris, myself, or the Sactown Sports Kings Insiders. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins taking up to 2 p.m. We're not from the 313, but hopefully you can ride with A and C. Ooh, I had that for you. That's Alan and Chris, if you didn't catch that. Along with Franco
so
Cardicelli.
Halfway
across. Wow. Bars.
And Brendan Nunes, our Sactown Sports Kings Insiders, as they join us for a couple more segments here as we take your calls and texts. And there's a spicy one on the text line, 916-339-1140. But first, Doug has been hanging out. Let's go to Doug. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda
right,
shop. What's up, Doug?
Thank you so much. First off, I'd like to say I love your show because you guys do straight sports, and I love that.
Thank
the
you.
The other thing is that every time that I call, you guys get me in the next segment, and I've had, in the past, waited over an hour to get on, and then I just hang up after a while. But I really appreciate you guys get your callers in right away. So that's kudos to you guys.
Appreciate
it. What I want to talk about is Kings. And these are the kind of things that I think about as being a fan since I got here in 89, is it's not how you play or how you lose, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not how you win or how you lose. It's how you play. It's got to be how did you play? And if all those guys can look at their in the mirror and go, you know what? I had a great game last night. I don't know anybody who can say that. Fox is probably the most consistent, and Sabonis has 10 turnovers or whatever it was, 10 or 11. He doesn't have a game like that. Does he get one every now and then? Yeah, just do it against a good team. Don't do it against a bad team. I think we're leaderless still. I don't know. I'm not the fly on the wall in the locker room, but I sure wish Mike Brown would get into somebody's beep and tell him that, you know, you're playing for your career. Those guys are in the league a year, maybe two, and you're going to say, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? They can't even remember your name. So I think we just need to get some guys that come in and have some leadership qualities and stuff, and I don't know how you do that, but, you know, we got some guys that are a lot higher pay grade than me that figure that stuff out. So, again, love your show, and I'll keep on listening. So thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Doug. Go ahead and cut all that, Nate. That was good stuff there for our promo coming out with some new liners soon. Thank you, Doug, for that call. And that's the tough thing. These are grown men, right? These are grown men making a lot of money, and that is that line of, does Mike Brown need to be that rah-rah guy? It's really quite the opposite. I mean, we've seen him get animated before, and we can get into it. I know both of you were in that post-game press conference when Coach Mike Brown got asked about the back and forth with Malik Monk. This is a different coaching style. This is not the old school, hey, I coach, you player. That is not how Coach Mike Brown gets down. There's back and forth. There's, I don't want to say arguments, but they are very open about everything. And I don't know if the lack of leadership is because of that, but something is missing. And I don't want to hear about De'Aaron Fox not being that outspoken, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander seems to be quite the leader, and he's not a loud personality at all. So something is missing. I don't know if it's what Doug is kind of leading to with Coach Mike Brown. I don't know if it's just the players. And I'll tell you what, my trade that we're going to get into pretty soon here might fix some of that. But as of right now with this roster, I just don't think they have a personality in. I would think it's Domas, but again, if it's Domas, and then it's a day where you know what I mean? You can't hold on to the basketball. What are you going to say? So I don't know. Something is missing. I'm just not sure what.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Brown has definitely challenged the, like, internal leadership before. He, to your point, is very big on, like, this is a player's league. It can't just come from me and the other coaches. It's got to come from internally within guys on the roster. He often points to, obviously, his time with Golden State or San Antonio. And I kind of asked him before about, you know, De'Aaron being a little bit more of a soft-spoken guy, to your point. I might fight back a little bit on the SGA point, by the way. He seems pretty outgoing to me.
Well, all right.
Yeah, you seen the Instagram captions? De'Aaron would never.
That's Gen Z's. They don't. Right. They don't talk in real life.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
You're right. But I asked Coach before about, like, does it take a certain personality to have that kind of leadership? Because De'Aaron seems to be a lead by example, a little quieter. Mm-hmm. And he said that he doesn't really think so. He thinks it's just kind of a learned skill, and that guys that are a little more quiet, he pointed towards Tim Duncan, towards Steph Curry, that when they do speak, that just makes their words hold that much weight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, De'Aaron mentioned yesterday in postgame, it was kind of interesting to me when asked about, do you kind of just throw this one away and forget about it? He started by saying, actually, it's funny, I was just talking to the guys about this. I don't know if that means that he was, you know, talking to the team, kind of addressing everybody. But his point, and this is a quote, is at the end of the day, you soak in a loss like this, it could pile into 6 losses in a row. So for him personally, when you walk out the building, I'm not thinking about this game again. I think it's to each their own on a subject like that. But for me personally, once I walk out here, I mean, we have another game tomorrow. We're playing against a good Orlando team. So what am I thinking about this game for? Mm-hmm. But he started with saying, it's funny, I was just talking about this.
Right.
So I don't think there's no leadership, but there's definitely moments where it could probably be used a bit more.
Yeah. And a lot of it to me is like the urgency. Like there's no sense of urgency in a lot of these games at the beginning. I mean, you look at most notably, I mean, Memphis was an outlier because the Kings kind of just, you know, they beat the brakes off them the whole time. But Atlanta, you fall behind early. Portland, you fall behind early. Charlotte, there's just no clear energy. And again, like the crowd, it was very eerie being in the building last night, seeing a sold out crowd. And it's not the crowd's fault at all. It just, there was no reason for that crowd to get energized. Like, I can't really remember one notable big play from the game last night. There was nothing. I mean, I think De'Aaron had an AM1 late in the game that kind of injected some some energy, and then also Davion. But when you have no sense of urgency against some of these teams that are on the lower end of the NBA scale, it's very notable. And it's very notable, especially for other teams, because they jump on you. And the Kings have been really falling into these holes often. And I think that maybe – I don't look at it as much of a leadership thing, because I think there are guys that are strong, outspoken voices in that locker room. And again, the Kings have a very good coaching staff with guys that are very outspoken, like Jordy Fernandez. You have Mike Brown, obviously. You have Jay Triano, who's been around the NBA for a very long time. That's the coaches just by themselves. But again, Domas has been outspoken. I think Malik last night, obviously there were some things that were going on that were, you know, they pop up over the course of any season in any sport for a team. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to see eye to eye all the time, but that doesn't mean there's a rift or anything like that. I just think that that means there are things to work on. And the Kings obviously are not a perfect product. And I think as far as leadership goes, everyone could probably do a little bit more, but I don't think there's a lack of leadership. I don't really view that as a problem. I view urgency and falling behind early in these games are not able to kind of make it the proper adjustments when you need them most. And the Kings did not make any adjustments. It felt like it was a 5-3 point game the entire night. It really just never felt like anything changed. It felt like we were watching the same thing over and over and over. And that's kind of what I'm looking at more.
Interesting. I mean, and I wonder too, I mean, do you guys feel like, I mean, it's not really something that typically you would look for in like a trade, but like, I mean, do you feel like that leadership role that Mike Brown's talking about from the internal side, do you think it has to be somebody who's actually a part of the rotation? Because that's something me and Alan have gone, not back and forth on. I think we both kind of agree. It just hits a little bit different when it's somebody who's like actually playing 20 minutes and like is impacting the game. It's nice to have those, you know, Udonis Haslem and, you know, Andre Iguodala guys, but it feels like this team specifically would just respond a lot better to somebody who's actually in the fire with them and saying, like, it doesn't feel like the energy we're giving right now is the necessary energy.
Yeah, I do think that's the case. Like, it helps to have those guys at the end of the bench. You know, like, Juan Toscano-Anderson was not shy when he first got here that, like, sometimes it goes beyond what you do on the court when he was brought in. That, like, he's a great locker room guy, and he can echo the coaching staff. You look at JaVale McGee, you know, I think that that kind of fits the same thing, even though, obviously, he's more in the rotation than JTA would be. But it can't be a, you know, Corey Joseph. Like, it has to, in my mind, also be coming from some of these higher-up guys. And, you know, even when that's, like, Harrison Barnes, who I don't know how vocal he is right to his teammates necessarily, but obviously a great lead by example. Like, he seems like more of a pull you to the side and give you advice rather than rah-rah, get the whole team together. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, tell you maybe the...
invest.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we do have the trades. We see you on the line, Ken. I also want to bring up JTA because is it time to maybe, if you're losing to the Charlotte Hornets, anybody can get some runs. Styles and Watkins and the Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders coming up next.